Don't be nervous. We'll do what we can. Okay, we're on page Nun Dalet. We're continuing the Agaritas of the conversations between the wise men, the philosophers of Athens, and Rabbi Yoshua. And obviously, each one is its own world. Okay, so page Nun Dalet. It's from Bechoros and Daf Chesam and Beis. Boni lan beisa ba'avira da'alma. So they said to Rabbi Yoshua, build us a bias in the heavens. Build a castle in the sky. So Amar Shame. So he said a shame. He uttered a name of Hashem, the holy name of God. Tala bin Rakia La'ara. Rabbi Yeshua flew up between the sky and the earth. Amar Lahu, so he called down to the sages. Asiku le livni vitina mehasam. Right, send some bricks, send some mortar. You want me to build? You know, I'm up here now. I need supplies. Go to Home Depot and get me some stuff. Amri, so they said, Umi ika demati lasuke hasam. Is there anyone who can bring it up there? How are we gonna get it up there? Amar, so he said to them, Umi ika demati lemivne besa ben shmaya lahara. So you're saying, how can we get the supplies up there? So I'll say back to you: is there anyone who's able to build a house between the heaven and earth? Adkan. Okay, so what exactly were they saying? What is this Indian of? They said, "Is it you think you could build a? You think you could build a bias between Shemayim and Va'aretz?" And he goes up. He finds. He gets himself into that space, and he asks them to help to build that bias. And of course, they're not able to assist him. Which he says, "So then, why are you asking me to do something which is seemingly impossible?" Okay, we're not going to get really into the Agadata until next week because there's a lot of Hakdama. Hakdama is Gevalnik. Hakdama is going to take us right into Shemayim and Aretz within a person, and the space between. Okay, so let's see the Perash Agra. Says the Gra. Okay, he quotes where it's bolded. He quotes the Gemara again. Bani lan besa bavira da alma. Fine. Ha'inyan. Kamosha namar va'ira v'hine shtayim nashim yotzos v'ruach b'chnafehem. The Navi Zechariah says that I saw there were these two females with wings, who were coming towards me. Velahena knafayim kechnafe hachasida. And their wings were like the wings of a chasida. Chasida is a not kosher bird. A stork. Vatisena es ha'efa bein ha'aretz u'bein ha'shamayim. And they were carrying this efa, and efa is like this, you know, large measuring basin. They were carrying this big tub, or they were carrying this big bucket between Shamayim and Va'aretz. Vayomer Eli livnos labayis be'eretz shinar. They said, what's going on here? Where's everyone headed? What are we doing with the big bucket? So they said that the Malach, who I was talking to, Zechariah says, when he asked about where are these two winged female creatures going with that big bucket, they're going to build a bayis in Eretz Shinar, in the land of Shinar. And the Gemara Darshans and Kedushin Va'amru livnos la. They're going to build Miklal de Lois Kayim Sham. That implies that they were not successful in actually building it. Now again, who are these two winged females? What does it mean they were trying to establish something there? They were trying to build a bayis, and why Dafkin Shinar, we'll see. Okay, but from the fact that it says Livnos, that with the intention of building, apparently the Gemara says it didn't happen. Kamosha Amru Deka Nami Dichsiv La. That it says Livnos La, that she wanted to build it for her, but it was not successful. Okay? Again, all of this we're not really going to understand tonight, this part, this introduction. Va'inyan be'eretz Shinar, but if we know one thing about Shinar, where do we have Shinar in the Torah? The Inyan shel Dor HaFlaga. But the Dor HaFlaga, it says Shiratu Livnos Bayis, they wanted to build a big tower, a big castle. Whether they were waging war against God or trying to build some type of huge structure in order to nasa lanu shame, to make a name for themselves, lest we be scattered, pen nafuts. And they're working with the chomer and the levenim, and they're building. And that's the Indian when he says to them, pass me the bricks. And Yeshua says to the philosophers of Athens, pass me the bricks, pass me the mortar, help me build it. We can't build all that there, so then what are you asking me to do? Okay. But again, we don't really understand this part of the Gra's introduction. We're not going to until next week. But starting from the next paragraph, now we're going to get to the section that we're going to try to analyze very deeply tonight, and it's very, very, very sodistic, and you can use it in a lot of other places in your life, both in terms of your avoda and in terms of understanding conceptually the relationship between the parts of the soul. So the Gra says, "V'inyan ha-binyan ha-hu." Let's talk about the structure, right? Because a person is a bias. Your guf is a bias. Your life is a bias. It's a structure. And it says in Mishlei, "Bunsa Besa." The learning that we do in this world is building our olam haba. Right? The idea we've heard since we're kids: you do a mitzvah, you put a brick in the base of Mikdash. We're always building. We're always constructing. The Sefer Yetzirah calls the letters bricks, right? Stones to build the bias. The first letter of the Chumash is a bias, the base, the bracious. So we're always, everything is moving towards building a structure. V'inyan ha-binyan ahu kamosha amru. Shalosh mishmaros have halayla. Remember the Gemara? Brachos Dav Gimel. There are three different what? Watches of the night, which the Gra understands as corresponding to the three parts of the soul and really three stages of life. It's very beautiful. Look at this. Kasva mafarshim, shehu al shalosh nefashos shel adam. This refers to the three parts of the soul of man: naran, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Now let's pause for a second and look at footnote 626. Okay, Be'aderes Eliyahu, he quotes from Be'aderes Eliyahu, which is the Gran Chumash. Mashechilku harishonim l'shalosh nefashos. Right, that which the Rishonim talk about three parts of the soul, the Rambam talks about in the Shmona Prakim. Lo she'esh bo shalosh dvarim nefradim. Right, it's not that I have three different souls, it's just three dimensions, three manifestations of soul. The part of my soul that spreads itself out, that manifests within the kaved, within the liver, is called the nefesh. And the manifestation of soul in the heart is called ruach, right? Lev tahor barali elokim v'ruach nachon chadish v'kiri, right? Lev tahor v'ruach nachon. So lev goes with ruach. And the moach, umasha al hamoach, and that which manifests within the mind, the brain, hamaskelis, the thinking part of a person, that's called neshama. Okay? You got it? So nefesh is in your liver, ruach is in your lave, and your moach is the mishkan ha-neshama. That's why some people, when they put on their tefillin in the morning, they say ha-neshama shememoichi. You say the tefillin before putting on tefillin. You say, by strapping the tefillin shel rosh to my head, I hope that the neshama sheba mochi, the neshama in my mind, will be subservient to a Kadosh Baruch. Okay? And of course, the goal is to be a melech. The Jewish people are called, right, malachim, or at least b'nei malachim. We're princes, right? We're the royal family. Being a melech means what? What does melech stand for? Melech stands for moach, lev, kaved. The goal is to operate top-down, right? To operate from the mind to the heart to the liver. That I should use my mind, I should use my intellect, I should use my understanding of things to make good, rational decisions. But I don't want to be a kalta litvak, right? I have to then arouse my heart. Once I have a clear idea, and then I inject emotion. And then I use my liver, which is bloody, to pump it out to the limbs, to make it lamaisa. Of course, lo aleinu, if a person is a backwards person, and he gives in to sort of just his kishkas, you know, his taivas, and then it's ma'oyer a ratzon in his heart, and then he rationalizes it afterwards with his mind. He's operating from the bottom up, so then what? He's chaf lamed mem. What is chaf lamed mem? Remember this? Yeah. Tosfos in two places asks, how could it be in Avodah Zarah and Brachos? Tosfos says, what was Bilam going to do to destroy Klal Yisrael? Bilam knew the split second that Hashem gets angry every day. Ki rega ba'apo chayim birtzono. And he was going to exploit that rega, like the Gemara says in Brachos, to curse the Jewish people. Right? So the question Tosfos says, what could he possibly say in a split second? Tosfos has two answers. One answer is he was going to say one magical word to destroy the Jewish people. What's the word? Kalim, destroy them. Chaf lamed mem. In the Pnimius, the Chasam Sofer and others explain, the idea is kalim, that's the downfall of the Jewish people. Right? A Melech is a person who's in control, like the famous Ibn Ezra in Parshas Naso, which describes the Nazir as what? As being like a Melech. Right? The Nazir, the fact that the way he grows his hair is almost like a crown, because he's, and the Ibn Ezra says, a king is not someone who does whatever he wants. The opposite. The king is a person of unbelievable self-control and self-restraint. Right? The king has to be more mindful of what he does, because if the king does lowly things, right, everyone's going to find out about it, and it's going to be a big disgrace to the whole kingdom. Okay? So the goal is to be a Melech. Okay? So it says the Gra, again, we have to operate from, we have to try to understand what the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama are. They're three different manifestations of soul within the body. But then he adds further in this footnote, quoting from the Gra and Mishle, an amazing thing. The Gra and Mishle says, we know that Shlomo HaMelech wrote some very interesting svarim in Tanakh. Right? Mishle, Koheles, and Shir HaShirim. Which, by the way, the Medrash says corresponds to different stages of life. Right? But before we go there, it says the Gra, Mishle corresponds to the Nefesh. Koheles corresponds to the Ruach. And Shir HaShirim corresponds to the Neshama. Which is very nice. Right? Because what did Rabbi Akiva say about Shir HaShirim? What did Rabbi Akiva say about Shir HaShirim? Shirim is Kodesh Kadosh, right? Shirim is the Holy of Holies, even though it looks like a romance novel. Yeah, but Shirim is Mamish Kodesh Kadosh. Shirim is the level of Neshama. I mean, if you read Shirim and if you get lost in the Mashal, right, so then it's all guff. But if you understand the Nimshal, if you understand the intimacy of Shirim is really that a Jewish soul can bind itself to its creator, right, so that's Mamish Kodesh Kadosh. It's very nice that the level of neshama, the level of soul called neshama, corresponds to Shir HaShirim. I was thinking, Rabbi Akiva has a deep connection to Shir HaShirim, clearly, from that Maimar Chazal, that Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadosh. But it fits very nicely, because in Remez, Rabbi Akiva is Gematria Neshama. So we're saying Shir HaShirim is the Madrega of Neshama, so it actually works very nicely. Rabbi Akiva, who's on that lofty level, can look at Shir HaShirim. Most people look at Shir HaShirim and they say, like, I'm embarrassed to read it, you know? A little too risque, right? But Rabbi Akiva reads it, he says, no, you got to read it deep. It's cool on neshama. Because Rabbi Akiva was a neshama dikka person. Okay, so let's go back to the Gra. Let's go back up top. So again, there are three mishmaros within a day, within a night, in a period of time. Right? Night, of course, is galus. Within a lifetime, within life in this world, an olam hazeh type of existence. There's nefesh, there's ruach, and neshama. Nefesh, everyone see where we are? Three lines from the end of page 1 Dalit, in the top. Nefesh, bo hataiva le'inyonam hagufnim. Nefesh is the part, like we said, nefesh is where? It's in your liver, it's in the kavod, it's in your kishkas, it's in the blood, right? Taiva. So the nefesh corresponds to taiva for inyone guf, and that's why it says in Pirkei Avos, nefesh rechava. An expansive nefesh, right? The nefesh wants to febre, wants to live loose, right? Chava, very wide, very open. Ruach, in the heart, spirit, ruach, loosely translated as spirit, baha kavod vahakina. Okay, turn to the top of the next page, if you have the handouts. Ruach corresponds to kavod and kina, right? Honor and jealousy. Kamosha Amu v'ruach gavoa. Ruach is a little bit more elevated. Right? I don't want to just enjoy taivas olam haza. Right? Now I want to be a chashuv person. Kavod, right? Kina. I want to drive a nice car. Yeah, I want to get my name on the side of a building. I want to be a big gvir. Yeah, chulam. Right? Gva ruach. It's a certain haughtiness. Right? Or like it says, v'ruach necheya shehu akina, when a person's ruach is necheya, when a person's ruach is kind of lowly, right? Tiabesh garem, it dries out the bones. What does that mean? Like the pasuk says, v'rekev atzamos kina. Kina causes the bones to rot. V'chol hakavod umidosea tluyen behevle ola. And just like Koheles, we said, corresponds to ruach, and Koheles is all about what? Havel aval makol havel, the pursuit of money, the pursuit of honor, the pursuit of wisdom, right? It's a little more refined than just wanting to like party. Right? That's taiva, that's nefesh. Nefesh just wants to party. Right? Nefesh wants just, you know, pure hedonistic pleasure. Ruach already wants something a little more, you know. Ruach wants to be successful. Right? Ruach wants to be smart. Right? It's a little bit, Ruach wants to be at the exclusive party, not just like the college party, you know. On some secular college campus, lo aleinu, lo aleicha. Yeah? Good. So it says the Gra, these three mishmaros correspond to three stages of life. And it's beautiful. It's mamish beautiful. Now, let's remember the Gemara in Brachos, because we have to. What did the Gemara in Brachos say? What are the signs of the three mishmaros, the three changes of the watches of the night? And remember the Gemara? So if you go back to footnote 624 on the previous page, he tells us. Brachos daf gimel. Right, Mishmar Rishona, the sign of the first watch, is Chamur Noer. The donkey is braying. Shnia Klavim Tzoakim. Second watch, the dogs are barking. And in the third section of the night, the baby is already waking up. Tinok Yonek Ishtei Imo. The baby is nursing from its mother. V'isha Misaperes Imbala. And a woman is speaking to her husband, like telling him to shut the alarm and let her go back to sleep or whatever. He's getting up for early davening to get to work. Okay? So says the Gra, Mishmar Rishona, going back to page Nunhei, second paragraph. Mishmar Rishona bitchilas yaldus shoifu taiva. The first stage of life, nefesh, taiva, right? I just want the pleasures of this world. As the pasuk says, kia yaldus vashachris hovel. Right? Youthfulness and shachris. Shachris literally means like when your hair is still black before you turn white. Right, Tavel, it's all sorts of, it's a certain type of silliness. Va'amru dvarim sha'osim bialduso marbim hevel b'ziknuso. Things that people do in their youth, right, lead to all sorts of, I don't know, troubles in your old age. Kamo shekasav Rashi al taivas ha'mishkal, right, this refers to the taiva of arayos, v'chein al kol ha'taivos, the same thing is true for any type of taiva. And that's chamor no'er, that's like a donkey that's braying, like a donkey that's crying out, right? Because a donkey is always synonymous with a bal taiva. Why is a donkey, right? Chamor, Maral talks about it a lot. Chamor is milashon chomri, right? Chomer. Chomrius, physicality. Raw physicality, raw materials. Chomer, raw materials. Asher bas, asher bisar chamorim bisaram, like it says in the Navi about Mitzrayim, right? Their flesh is like the, I think it's about Mitzrayim, their flesh, about the nations of the world, their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. Right? And it says so in the context of a very, you know, illicit sexual desire. V'akol inyanu achomer. So a young person, right, they just want, you know, olam hazat taiva. Uve'emtza'is, when you get to the second stage of life, ha'odam holich v'rodev acher kavod v'ashirus. The body's not as young as it used to be, right? But there's other ways to impress your friends. You have a big house, you drive a nice car, you get some kavod, some wealth, right? Why is that compared to the second watch? What happens in the second watch? Dogs bark. Keklovim hachitzoakim hav hav. The Zohar says the sound that a dog makes when it barks is what? Hav hav. What does hav mean in Aramaic? What does hav mean? Give. Give, give. Give, give. Now I'm collecting things. Now I'm a collector. Yeah? Collecting money, collecting, I don't know, properties. You're such a big, you're collecting. Collecting cars, right? You're collecting things. Have. You just, give me this, give me that. Give me more kavod. I want more kavod. You didn't give me the proper kavod that I deserve. So that's the second stage of life. What happens in the third stage of life? The Gra gets to a very positive punchline very quickly. There's a lot more to unpack here. But the Gra says on the top of the left column, Uva mishmara hashlishis. Shiroa chalifaso. When a person sees chalifaso, which Rashi in Tehillim explains means the Yom HaMisa, when he sees that he's about to cross over, when he realizes I'm not going to be here forever, and for all the wealth that I amass, none of it's coming with me. Mehira chayzer b'tshuva. So then he starts to what? He starts to really wake up. That's what's happening in the third section of the night. The baby, right? The innocence, the holiness, the purity within him starts to wake up. Now the neshama, your past nefesh, your past ruach,
Now you're in the realm of neshama. Vaz tinok yoneg mishteimo. The baby begins to nurse from its mother, which the Gemara in Erevin, of course, says that what? Kamo shenamar, dadeha yiravucha b'chol eis. Her dadim, her breasts should satiate at all times. Ba'avasa tishka tamid. Right? In the love of her, one should constantly be oisik, which the Gemara again says, if you look at footnote 643, Gemara in Erevin daf nun dalid. Why is Torah like a breast, which a baby suckles from? Just like to the degree that the mother continues to nourish, she'll produce more milk. It's an amazing thing. A woman gives birth, the baby starts to suckle, and all of a sudden the body knows how to produce milk. And to the degree that the baby needs more milk, the body will produce more milk. When the baby stops, then the mother stops producing. So same thing in Torah, after every Torah. Kozmancha adam hoga behen, motzi behen tam. The more you learn, the more you taste, the more you experience. Right? The same way the foods that the mother eats will manifest in the milk. So there's certain foods you shouldn't eat, you know, sometimes it upsets the baby's stomach. Right? A woman who's nursing shouldn't eat broccoli, that's like a famous thing, I don't know. Yeah, there's different things that, right? Because somehow that so too, right? When you're tasting the Torah, you're always experiencing, you're tasting the... Thought I understood Hashem. Now I'm starting to understand the different part of Ratzon Hashem. It's an amazing thing. So the third stage of life, you start to say, what am I doing with my life? I'm not a young person anymore. I can't chase after the silly tithes of my youth. And I'm not that middle stage where I want kavod and I want money. I realize all the kavod in the world doesn't compare to the kavod that I'm going to get in all the mahava if I buckle down and act like a yid. And all the money, I can't take it with me. The isha misaperes and baal, and of course the woman speaking to her husband, is Meramez to what? Knesset Yisrael, the Shechina, the Jewish people, talking to Hashem. Right? I start to talk to Hashem in a real way. Kamo shenamar v'ashuva el ishi harishon, a return to my original husband. I've lacked the faithfulness because I got busy with Olam Hazeh and I forgot where I came from. I forgot where my origin is. So I get to a stage in life where I start to wake up and I start to get back on track. Shechoyzer l'akadosh baruch hu. Shator mevi alidei maisa. Right? Through the learning, through nursing once again, right, and extracting the sweet milk of Torah, the taste of Torah, so that'll bring me to action, right? And I'll start to converse with Hashem. I'll start to interact with Hashem. Kamo she'orim b'tfila, like we say in Shemona Esrei, Hashivenu avinu l'sar esecha v'karvenu malkeinu l'avod desecha. That's what happens in stage three of life. Okay, so that's nefesh, ruach, and neshama, right? That's taiva, that's kavod, and that's hopefully the wake-up call that people, at the very least, at the end of their life, will come to. Now, Adam HaRishon is the all-encompassing person. And Adam HaRishon, we talk about the three children of Adam HaRishon, which means that these three children of Cain and Hevel and Shais also somehow correspond to this theme. Amazing. God puts this all together, no? So he writes in the last paragraph on page Nun Hay. Who inyan shel shlosha banim shel Adam Rishon? Right? A child, right? Like it says, Elu toldos Noach. Right? The toldos of a tzaddik are his mitzvos and ma'isim tovim. But the toldos, right? A person has biological children if they're blessed. But a person is always making children. The mitzvos you did today are your children. Olenu the averus that we do are our children. Right? The bad children. So we're always producing. We're always being creative. So Adam Rishon had Cain, Hevel, and Shais. What do we know about them? Cain, his asek was b'avodas ha'adama. Cain was a farmer. Lechem le'achol isva. Hevel asek b'avodas ha'tzon. Hevel was involved in tzon. Right? That's the second stage of life. Kamo she'amru v'ashteroi sonecha, the breeding of your sheep, which of course means amassing property, right? More possessions, more animals, right? And Ashteros, he says, is a lashon of Ashiros, Shema Ashteros es Baalehem. You build out your portfolio, you got some sheep, you got some cows, some goats. Okay, B'kinyanim Hamadumim. That's the world of Hevel. V'sheis, what does the Torah say about Sheis? When Sheis is finally born, the Torah says about Sheis that Adam Rishon was Yoilid Bidmuso Bitzalmo. He created someone, Bitzal Midmus. Right? Someone who radiates a higher image. So, Miklal da'ad hashta, turn the page. Oilid ruchin bishin v'sheidim. A As it says, as Chazal say, that for the period of time that Adam separated from Chava, which was an extensive period of time, 130 years, so during all of those years, he was moilid ruchin, bishin, v'sheidin. He gave birth to all sorts of demonic, you know, creatures. Adam Arishon gave... Jason, it was great to hang out with you. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy Chavrusa. Thanks for joining us. Adam Arishon was, right? He was Motzizar Levatala. It says all sorts of strange things about what was going on at that period. But apparently, even the Cain and Hevel, right, who were born already, you know, at the start, they represent a certain unrefined part of Adam Arishon. It's only when you get to Sheis that Adam is now producing, right, Bidmuso, Vitzalmo, he's creating something in a holier image. So now, let's match up Cain and Hevel and Sheis with Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. But a little more, let's start building it into a person. Okay, so the Gras says, and again, these are such fundamental building blocks of Machshava. V'yadua, we're on page 1 Vav. V'yadua shenaran, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, heim barosh, ubebeten, ugvia. Right? Generally speaking, we already saw in the footnote that really Neshama is in the brain, which is in the Rosh. And we said that the Ruach is in the heart, which is in the Beten, which means the middle of man, the torso of man, literally the belly, the stomach, right? But it means within the body of man, that part of the body of man, right? And then you have Gvia. Then you have what? Then you have the lowest part of just the Guf, right? Which again, he tells us here, as we said in the footnote, Shesham Naran b'malach v'lei v'kavid. The neshama is in the malach, the ruach level of soul is in the heart, and the nefesh is in the bloody liver, ki adua, as we explained. Sheheim neged shamayim, eretz, and avir. Okay, neshama, ruach, and nefesh. Kama shekasa b'sefer yetzira. So therefore, Kayin, who's the lowest level, Kayin, who's the level of nefesh, he's busy with what? He's busy with the Adama. V'omer lehevel, lama ata oiver al admasi, pireach ba'avir. Interesting lashon you find in the Medrash Rabbah. One time, Hevel was standing in Kain's field, and he said, "You're not a farmer. You took the animals, I took the land. So get off the land, go fly in the sky." So he says to him, pireach ba'avir. It's a very deep Medrash. What it means is Kain is this madrega called Adama, Nefesh. Right? And Hevel is this madrega called Ruach, right? Which corresponds to what? The air. That's why in Koheles everything's what? Hevel Havel. What's Hevel? Hevel means breath. It's air. Right? It's Ruach. Ki kol asakob in yonam choymirim iske haguf. Kain is the world of Adama. Kain is the world of choymir. Kain is the world of the guf. Aval Hevel, interesting, let's understand now, and here the Gra takes a swipe a little bit. Aval Hevel is Oisek in Havalim. What type of Havalim? It could be very frum-looking Havalim. Ubona bateknesios lizgada ulisparba. He builds the other shul because he doesn't like the, you know, that other shul that's been around for too long. That's not my shul. I want my own shul. I want to build it my way. He does it for his own kavod. He gives a lot of tzedakah in order to what? In order to make a name for himself. Right? Again, we're getting back to Migdal Bavel, the tower in the air. The tower in the air. Kamosha Amru Bazar on the Pasuk Vanasa Lanu Shem, like the Zohar itself says, connecting what was going on in Dor HaFlaga. Right? So Hevel, again, is this madrega or what? Where a person might think that they're doing something L'shem Shemayim, but they may just be doing it to advance themselves. So Kain and Hevel, even though you'll say Kain is worse in a certain way and Hevel's better, but they're both unrefined. It's not until we get to Sheis, the third son of Adam, that things start to finally take shape. B'dmuso b'tzalmo. Right? The same way those first two stages of life, a person is chasing the wrong things. The third stage of life, you start to wake up. Isha misaperas and Bali, you start to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit. A little let's go to this. And all of this is Hevel. It's Hevel Havalim. You're going to start amassing what? All of this money, and you'll justify it because you're going to give a big donation to yeshiva? That justifies the way that you spend, you know, on everything else? Have a levalim. V'amru tachas ha-shemesh. Ein lo, avalamala yesh lo. Tachas ha-shemesh hu ba'avir. Where is the world of tachas ha-shemesh? It's the sky. So above the shemesh, right? If you really go out there to the higher realms, so then things are not hevel avalim. But in the space that's below the sun, in the sky, in the avir, in the world of hevel, right? Where everyone wants to just be puffed up with the kavod, it's a lot of hot air. Hevel avalim. That's all hevel avalim. V'chol inyan shel koheles. And says the Gra, the whole inyan of koheles, hakol hu inyan shel hevel. It's all Shlomo HaMelech pointing out all of the hevel havalim of life. Kamo shenemar, ki me hove la'odam b'chol amalo uverayon libo. What is there to be gained from all of the, you know, plans and ideas of the heart? Why the heart? Shabakom ruach. We said the lev is connected to the ruach. Shu amel tachas ha-shamesh. If you're not going to go to the higher realms, if you're not going to be with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you're just, what are you doing? You're just amassing more wealth, looking for more kavod. You become such a shallow person. Ki kol yomov v'chulu gamze hevel hu. Your whole life is chasing, and it's hevel. V'lechot en nasan inyan la'asof v'lechnos l'seis l'tov l'fnei alokim. And the Yetzer Hara puts an idea into a person's mind, to the sinner. He has this idea, he's going to collect and collect and collect. And all of that is eventually given to someone else. Gamze hevel ru'us ruach. It's all ruach, it's all hevel. Hevel corresponds to lev, corresponds to ruach. Corresponds to Avir. Isha sher yiten lo alokim osher nechassim v'lo yashlitenu zehevel. Person who has all this money in the world, right? But he doesn't control it; it controls him. Hevel havalim shtuyot. Shtuyot. It's one of my biggest questions. People have so much money and they're still busy trying to just retire and sit and learn, or retire and just relax. I don't know. Like, they're still stressed out because they're managing a billion-dollar, you know, many billion-dollar hedge fund. You made it. You're done. I stay in the game. Right? It's a craziness. It's total crazy. Hevel havalim. It's mamish crazy. It's so crazy. So gamze hevel ra'us ruach. The kahina rabos kol sefer medaver mizeh. The whole sefer Koheles is just poking fun at how silly and how stupid, how foolish it is. So says the Gra, let's just go just a little bit further. All of the sins of Taiva are rooted in the Nefesh. Now, let's get into it. What's included in this category? We already said it includes, you know, a Taiva for Arayos, right? A certain youthfulness, Chumrius, physicality. What else is included in that? What's a very base Taiva? Food and drink. How fitting on the day of a fast day. I love the connections, you know? I started the piece, I was like, come on, where's the connection? We need something that's, you know, it's not like we got past the Chanukah, we made some Chanukah connections in the previous pieces, like, where are we holding now? Yeah? Eating and drinking. Conquering the taiva for eating and drinking, he says. He says, v'anefesh asher toichal. Right? Nefesh asher toichal, chazal say in the Gemara and Chula, nefesh l'rabos as a shoysa. Comes to include a person who drinks as well. So eating and drinking. Turn to the top of page Nun Zayin. Let's understand this type. Let's understand a little bit more about Kayin and Hevel, and let's learn about Tikkun Achila, which again is so much in Yana Diyoma on the fast day. Sarva Tevis. Ve'yavei Kayin mi pri ha'adama. Kayin brings from the pri ha'adama min ha'pachusim. Chazal say from what? From the remnant. He didn't even bring his good stuff. He was bringing from the earth. But he didn't even bring the quality stuff. She'eino noisin l'sham rak osin she'eino tzarech l'achilasa. He only gave what he didn't himself want to eat. Hameshuyar, whatever was left over. Let's try to understand that for a second. Let's think about this in the context of what the Gra is saying, that first stage of life, when a person is what? When a person is very enmeshed in taivas olam haza. Part of what's sad about taivas, it's very selfish. At least the second stage, there's like the kavod that I'm looking engages someone else. I need someone else to give me a cup. Taiva is just about taking. In a certain way, it's just wanting for oneself. So Kayin took all the best fruit for himself. Whatever's left, he gave to Hashem. The remnant, right? Whatever was left. When a person's young, they're very selfish. Right? Your parents do so much for you, and then your parents like ask you to do something. They ask like a teenager to go do something, and they're like, oh, you know, mom, dad, you always ask me to like do everything. Yeah, I ask you to do everything, because I ask you to do like one tiny little thing. I gave you 99%, do whatever you want. I asked for a tiny bit. I asked for the remnant, the shirayim. Kayan, I asked for the shirayim of your nefesh. And even that's like, right? It's too much. V'zer sh'amru zera pishton sheino nechal. He gave us a carbon, something you can't even eat. And he ate everything. Like a teenage boy who eats up the whole house, you know? Nothing left. Hevel already brings something a little bit more refined. Mibuchoyer sono. But again, we explain that Hevel is the world of kavod, is the world of what? Taivas mamon, ashiras. Shekol inyanu liknos shem utefaris ba'aretz. Right? Why is Hevel bringing a nicer carbon? Because he wants the recognition. It's not about Hashem. It's not the Shema. So now, what does it mean when Hevel gets killed by Kain? When Kain rises up against Hevel? Let's see if we can chop this. I'm not sure that I chop it. Help me out with this. So they're in the field. And Kain rises up. Kain gets up against his brother Hevel and he kills him. How does Kain, what is that? What do you think it means? Let's pause for a second. A little audience participation. Yeah, what does it mean Kain kills Hevel? Kain is taiva. Kain is arayos, achila, is real guf, you know, gufni gashmias, chumrias. Like a braying donkey. Right? And the world of Hevel is the world of the barking dog. Look at me, collecting, amassing, money, kavod, gvir culture. Yeah? Yeah, what do you say? So why doesn't Kain kill Hevel? Why should Kain kill Hevel? Again, the trajectory of life, first you go through Kain, and then you get to Hevel. It's almost like Hevel should kill out Kain. Hang on. Go for it. You have thought?
Doesn't want to progress. So he kills off the next stage.
Right. He can't even get past.
It's all selfish. It's all me.
Right. There's a part.
At least you're engaging with other people.
Yeah. Right. So you're saying there's a fear of like really getting stuck and just being a teenager forever. Never growing up.
Yeah.
Right. Like, at least grow up. At least be, you know? At least be someone who wants to, like...
a member of society.
Yeah, be right. At least, right. Even if it's all selfish also. It's all about your own comfort. Right? There's some people who never... Kain kills Hevel. You never even grow up. Let's see how he says it. Ha'inyan kamo shenemar be'esav. Maybe Kain dominating Hevel, right? Maybe there's some type of merger that's taking place. Let's see. Like it says about Esav, Ish Yodea Tzayid Ish Sadeh. Interesting. If Kain is a man of the field, he's an Ish Adama, right? He works the field, and Esav is an Ish Sadeh, and Esav is also a killer. So there must be a common ground there. Shezeh Mida Shal Kain. This somehow is Kain's Mida. What do we know about Esav? He's an Ish Yodea Tzayid. It doesn't just mean that he knows how to hunt. He knows how liramot, to deceive, to trick. Kamo shenemar ki tzayid bepiv. Kamo shekosav Rashi midoso shel Hevel. As Rashi explains, Esav used to trick Yitzchak and ask him all sorts of from questions. But really, it was all a charade. None of it was sincere. So what does he mean midoso shel Hevel? What does he mean? What does it mean? Again, Hevel, what's Hevel? See, Hevel, you need Kain a little bit to make Hevel possible. Kain needs to dominate Hevel a little bit. Why? Because Hevel is only really Hevel, right? Hevel is only really Hevel if it's really rooted in some type of taiva, or some type of deception. Right? That's what we're really introducing here. We're saying Esav. Esav is deception. Hevel, there has to be a heavy dose of deception to allow hevel to happen. Right? Because very often the person who's what? Who's donating and who's giving and who's trying to nasalan who's shame, right? He can convince himself that, no, he's really just a big baal tzedaka. Look at footnote 688. He's oseg berimiya kan Yisrael. He's involved in all sorts of deception. He's deceiving himself that he's bona bate knesios utzedakos lezgadol lesbar. So by making this connection between Kayin as an ish sada and Esav as an ish sada, as an ish yodei tzayid, right? There's a certain deception that has to get woven in. And by the way, if you think about what taiva is, right? Taiva, stage one, nefesh, is a lot of deception. A person thinks that sexual desire is going to satisfy and it doesn't. A person sits down to that meal and they're like, oh, they're so excited. By then they're just like, they're full and they're gross and they spend too much money at the restaurant, you know? They're like annoyed at themselves, they kind of fell for it. Like the Ramchal says, the pleasure of eating is from here to here, you know? From the time it gets from your lips to your throat. That's the whole thing. Right? And yet people are enslaved to food. So there's a lot of dimyon that goes into it. There's a lot of trickery. So that trickery of Kayin killing Hevel, or Kayin dominating Hevel, allows this midah of Hevel to emerge. But now the Gra, we'll conclude with this. We'll just do two more paragraphs. The Gra says, the key... Right? The key is being able to do things be'emes l'shem shemai, eating l'shem shemai, right? Engaging in physicality l'shem shemai. The Gra says, the left-hand column on page Nun Zayin, Va'omru kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim. Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim. Where's that from? Pirkei Avos. Afilu ben yonam agashmiyim v'izhiru al midas hataiva b'yoyser. Shekol achilu shesia yeh hakol l'shem shemayim. Kol masecha yush l'shem. Kol everything at masecha in the realm of mas, in the realm of guf. Be careful. Be careful to do the things that are physical l'shem shemayim. It can be done. Ha'inyan kavo shenemar havi alei tzayir va'oichela v'averechecha lifnei Hashem. When Yaakov and Yitzchak says to Esav, bring me something good to eat, and I'll be able to give you a real bracha. Right? The way that we eat on Shabbos, across the Shabbos Oneg. The Rashba in his comments on the Agarata, when it talks about the Suda of the Livyasan, Lassid Lavo, and the other Mefarshim, again on the Agarata, right? They explain, Ki ein haneshama, look at this line, Ki ein haneshama shlema, ela im kein ba'achila u'shasiya shi'as yashiv ha'guf. The neshama needs eating. The neshama needs eating? The body needs eating. No. The real ikar shita of what we're heading towards is a unification, a yichud, of body and soul. Right? The pnimiyas dikka approach to olam haba, alpi the mekubalim, is what? Is not the Rambam's olam haneshamos, your soul lives on forever, detached from body, but it's a harmonious existence of body and soul. Where they're not against each other. So how do I take food, which is so goof, and make it neshamadik? The answer is, it's an achila and a shasiya, right, that's rooted in holiness. It's the suda of the livyasan lasid lavo, which he writes in footnote 696, is an actual suda. It's a real suda. Suda livyasan is not a metaphor. It's a geshmaka herring suda. Suda livyasan. Yeah? Sponsored by the Rebbe's Choice. V'chein kol ha-sudos shel mitzvah. Anytime you eat a sudos mitzvah, turn to our last page for tonight, Nun Ches. Kamo shepirshu al rofei kol basar mafli la'asos. Every time you go to the bathroom, we acknowledge this wondrous thing. There's openings, there's holes to my body, and yet my neshama is contained within me. That's a wondrous thing. It's a taste of the future. Shekosher, right? Shekosher ruchani begashmi v'maychel. Through the process of food, we're able to unite eating and drinking with what? With my neshama. Ki aguf nene b'maychal v'aneshana b'kavanas ha'achila l'shmo k'mo shekosav b'gulgulim. As the Mekubalim tell us, the body benefits from the food, and the neshama benefits from the bracha and the intentionality of the person who's eating the food, and they come together in a remarkable way. Look at this awesome footnote, 698. Again, a quote from the Adaras Eliyahu of the Gra. He writes, sorry, it's not from the first line he quotes here, Adaras Eliyahu, the second line in this footnote, he quotes from the Imre Noam, which is the writings of the Gra and Brachos, Daf Samach and Beis. He says on Umafli La Sos, because the Gemara over there in Samach goes through the Seder of Brachos in the morning. Sha'pliya Yeshba Adam, look at this, amazing. There's a wondrous thing. Sha'raya Neshama Ein Tzricha Le'achol El Aguf. Who needs the food? The Neshama doesn't need food. The body needs food. Va'afal Pichein, and Lohaya Ochel Dal Rohe Yamim. But if you don't feed the body for 4 or 5 days, the Neshama leaves. Why is the Neshama? Why does the person die, right? The Neshama leaves. If the body's not fed, why does the Neshama care? Halo zehu plia gadola, says the Gra. It's a wondrous thing. V'chimai ichbas l'neshama shagof ein ochel. Why does the Neshama care that the body doesn't eat? Ela shakadosh baruch hu zav gom yachad shetargish haneshama v'tzarchei aguf. Hakadosh baruch hu wove them together in such a way that what? That the Neshama and the guf are connected in such a way that the Neshama feels the needs of the body. That's such a powerful insight. I never chopped it like that. You understand what the Gra is saying? Why is it that sometimes when you have a taiva, it's not just physical, it's an emotional. When I'm hungry, it's an emotional state. It's not just my body's hungry. Why? It feels almost neshamadik, right? And I'm using neshama as like my emotions. Right? Or a person has a taiva. Right? It's not just a craving of the body. It captures your emotions. It captures your mind. Right? Why is that? Because there's a very deep yichud between the body and the neshama. So sometimes the body, sometimes kayin dominates hevel in a negative way, so to speak. Right? That the guf convinces the neshama to feel something, and it tells it wants something, and then it feeds it garbage. But the goal is that there should be able to be a sudas levyasan. There should be a Shabbos suda. It's me'ein olam haba. Right? There's a way that the body and the soul can be mutually nene from one another. So let's go back up top and finish this paragraph, and we'll stop for tonight. Ve'ein chizuk l'shum davar el ba'achila v'shsiya. And nothing gets what it needs without what? Without eating and drinking. He writes here again in footnote 700. He says, "Kumo sha'adam sarach la'achila shtei pamim ba'yom, ve'im lav az nishmaso sorefes asaguf, ki yadua b'yom atanis." As we know from fast days, right? We feel it in a very real way. But the Gra writes in the Siddur HaGra, that's why we have a carbon tamid shel shachar, tamid shel ben arbayim. That's your breakfast, that's your dinner. It's an Americanisha thing, 3 meals a day, right? Morning suda, an evening suda. Yeah, the body needs it, the neshama needs it. We feed it in the Beis HaMikdash the same way, kiviyachal. V'aneshama gara ba'olam hazeb midoseh. The neshama enters into this world and lives in this world. It lives in a guf. So says the Gra, now we understand Pirkei Avos. Kol ma'asecha. You l'shem shamayim. What is that? We always understood this, but now we understand the much, much greater nuance. Kol ma'asecha hagashmiyim. You l'shem shamayim. Va'oz tisyashiv haneshama ba'olam. Like we said, again, there's shamayim, there's aret, and there's avir. Make sure that your ma'asecha, take the earthly part of yourself, and do it for the neshama. Make it neshamadik. Va'neshama medura b'rosh v'shamayim. Right? We said, just like in a person, the highest part of yourself, the rosh, the moach, is the part, is the madur, is the dwelling place of the neshama. So make sure that your actions, your ma'asecha, in the lowest realm, are l'shem shamayim, b'shvil ha'neshama. V'azchibur l'shamayim v'aretz, and then we attach shamayim v'aretz. And the Gra concludes, at least for tonight, v'zeh sod, and this is the secret of what it says in the Medrash, in the Mechilta, she'itzia ha'shamayim al harsinai. When Hashem gave the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, what? Hitziah is like a lashon of like, you know, spreading out a sheet. Hashem spread out Shemayim over Har Sinai. Hashem stretched Shemayim right down on top of the arts. Why? What's the pshat? Because when a person is mekushers the Torah in the right way, he understands that guf and neshama, Shemayim and arts don't have to be a contradiction. But Yeved Hashem al Har Sinai. Mafli la'asos, it's a pella, it's a wondrous thing. Right? But it's something that we can attain. Okay, so Amir Tashem, we'll do part 2 next week. We got to get back to the Agada. Right? What did the sages of Athens want when they asked Yeshua to build a castle that was between Shammai and Haaretz? Right? What did they, we have a lot of Yesodos now. We're gonna have to figure out what this bias is and how we build it, Amir Tashem. Okay, so stay tuned next week for the exciting conclusion. Okay. Okay, Shkach, any questions, comments, thoughts?
Something else.
Something, yeah, go for it.
I've been listening to like the Bible a little bit, and it says how he's been talking about how Muna and Kedisha are intrinsically related.
Mamish.
So this comment is like the same thing we can show Mark.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Where was he talking about Amun and Kedusha? Yeah, it's a big thing. How did he?
He's saying how like for Amuna, there's nothing that we like. We are Maminim, regardless. That we don't.
Right.
That's not. We don't need to do anything. That's we kind of just need to reveal that. So he's saying for.
Yishas of risk, and Shmiras of risk, it's the same thing. We are intrinsically that. Right. Manifestation of that Amunah. I always say, when the Gemara Makos says that Habakkuk came along and summarized Kol HaTorah Kula on one principle, but Tzadik B'Manasseh Yechya. Right? So what's the one principle? What is it? What did he say? What was his Chiddush? Everything's Amunah, right?
Yeah.
Tzadik B'Manasseh Yechya. The truth is, he's saying it's really it's one thing which is a composite of two things, because he said tzaddik ve'manasa yechya. Tzaddik is the meaning of Yosef tzaddik, is kedusha. Right? Actually, the pasuk is v'tzaddik ve'manasa yechya. Vav is the os bris kodesh in the Zohar. Right? So it's mamash v'tzaddik ve'manasa yechya. Right? It's a muna, it's kedusha, and it corresponds to the last two galios. What galios are we in now? Galios Edom and. And Yishmael, right? Yishmael. What's Edom and Yishmael? It's Emunah and Kedusha. Right? Yishmael pretends to be the Shpitz Madrig of Kedusha. Right? Very tzanua. The women are very, very tzanua with them. Right? Mamish, unbelievably tzanua. And then you get a little bit of knowledge about how husbands treat their wives in that culture. And v'chulu, you read even what their holy book, the Quran, says about it. Not so pashut. Not necessarily such a strong inyan of Shmiras Habris and Kedusha when it comes to that world, right? And what about Edom? What about Esav? What about the other galus? It's all Emunah. It's all belief, right? You just got to believe. You got to believe that Yeshu is going to come and say, you know, there's no mitzvah, there's no Shulchan Aruch, there's no Mishnah Berurah. Yeah? There's certainly no Mishnah Berurah with Nevitzol's footnotes. Yeah, nothing, man. You just got to believe, right? You cross yourself a couple times, and that's it. It's all Emunah. That's so the last birur that's taking place in the world today, right, of Edom and Yishmael, is this Indian of v'tzadik b'manasso yecha. I always debate in my mind what's going to be, who's going to be the last man standing. Right? Meaning, they're one. Emunah and Kedusha is one Indian. But who's going to get knocked out by who? Who's going to be the last one? Right? Meaning, at the end of the day, what's it going to come down to? Are the Jewish people going to have to fight through this Indian of like Shmiras Habris and Shmiras Naim? Is that the final battle? Right? Or do we eventually say like that's all Shtriyot and then like Amun is the final battle? In the order of the pasuk sounds like V'tzadik V'Emunasa Yechya. Right? It sounds like there's going to be a tremendous Nisayon and Kedusha, but then there's going to be even an even bigger Nisayon and Amunah. That's the question. Will America defeat Millet and Islam? Will Islam conquer the Western world? That's okay. But that's Edom and Yishmael. But yeah, that's Guf. It's Guf and the Shama. Okay. Shkach. So we continue to Ezra Hashem.